I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Last weekend, the Dean of Toronto and Rector of St. James Cathedral was installed, and I was delighted to be there, bringing greetings from Ottawa and supporting my new colleague. Dean Stephen and his spouse, Jackie, arrived from England just 2 days earlier. They were feeling the cold and appreciating the warm welcome. Until coming to Canada, he had been the national lead for evangelism and witness for the Church of England. And she had been working for the Archbishop of Canterbury. Apparently, one day, Dean Stephen arrived home for dinner and told Jackie that he may just have accidentally applied to be Dean of Toronto. When we spoke, they admitted to not being quite sure where they were or what they had just done. The service was lovely. Great music, clouds of incense, and sanctus bells. When the bells rang, they sounded distinctly like an old-fashioned telephone on a party line. Bring, 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 bring. My immediate and visceral response was to say, hello? Fortunately, I managed to keep that to myself. Of course, the very purpose of ringing sanctus bells at the elevation of the bread and the wine during the Eucharistic prayer is to get our attention, to call us into that specific moment and to require a response. So wanting to say hello actually made quite a lot of sense, if not appropriate. Today, we hear how Simon and Andrew, James and John say hello to a new life. The ask seems almost random. Jesus is passing by the Sea of Galilee, and he calls them to follow him. And their response seems rather dramatic. They immediately drop their nets, leave those they love, and go with him. But in reality, it probably wasn't random or dramatic. More likely, it was intentional and freeing. Galilee was a very small community, and Jesus had been there for some time. He was teaching about repentance and how to turn away from the things that inhibit us. He was proclaiming the good news of a new way of life, and he was undoubtedly healing people. Jesus would have known Simon and Andrew, James and John, and he likely knew their families too. He would have walked by where they were tending to their nets, perhaps even stopping to chat with them. Maybe they even shared a meal. Jesus would have known and appreciated their position in society. As Diana Butler Bass writes in her blog, in ancient Rome, you didn't work for yourself. You didn't choose a job or a career. You worked for Caesar. In fact, your entire family worked for Caesar in an interlocking system of obligation, assigned class status, and subservience. You, your parents, and your children, your neighbors and your friends were all part of a massive political and economic hierarchy, which took nearly all the work of your hands and gave it to the wealthiest people in the empire, and from which you, your relations, and your community received almost no benefit. Knowing Simon and Andrew, James and John, their situation and experience, Jesus invites them into a life of greater freedom by specifically speaking their language. Now, to us, fishing for people sounds a little bit uncomfortable, as it suggests baiting, luring, and catching, which we must say are rather sketchy endeavors and behaviors. And leaving those we love behind seems just like a bad idea all around. But in the context of these first disciples, it meant doing something outside of the control of Caesar and embracing a different way of life. A life in which people are seen and accepted for who they are, not only for what they can provide. A life in which people are free to choose, not simply told what to do. And a life in which every person is called to share their specific gifts in their field of influence, not hide them away in fear. What an amazing way to live, and what a great opportunity to not only experience, but also share hope with others. No wonder they dropped their nets and followed him. The call to Simon and Andrew, James and John, and the call to us is one and the same. It is intentional, specific to us, taking into consideration our situation and experience. It speaks directly to the core of our being. To respond is freeing, for we are simply asked to follow, set aside our self-doubt, and step into a new way of life. One of the most remarkable things about the gospel is that Jesus does not ask Simon and Andrew, James and John, to believe. He simply asks them to follow him. He teaches about belief, but he does not require it. And we read in the Gospels how in their gifts are freed as they learn to show compassion, offer healing, and share the good news of hope, all the way to the cross and beyond. It is the same for us. God meets us where we are and invites us to go on a journey. That journey in itself will hone and develop our gifts, challenge us in ways that we could not expect, free us to be who we are truly meant to be, and give us the opportunity to inspire others. So listen for God's call. It may seem accidental or random. It may be as evocative and obvious as the ringing of sanctuary bells or sanctus bells. It may well come through someone who knows you and speaks your language. No matter how you are called, be assured that it is intentional and specific to you, and that to answer will be life-changing and freeing, and to respond will make a difference. For more than we can ask or imagine is possible, especially if we choose to bring all that we have and all that we are on this journey of following Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.